So we have this incredible gospel today and first reading from Jeremiah. Jeremiah, like all of us, is a hesitant person when it comes to sticking our necks out. Jeremiah did not want to be the prophet that God called him to be. Jeremiah was afraid of those people who were critical. When people said things that he opposed or opposed him, it made him shudder inside. And yet he knew that he had made a promise to God. The promise was that he would remain with him and be with him. Wherever he would send him, he would go. And so we have that great statement of Jeremiah. We have the living out of that statement in life. And then we have this moment where Jeremiah is so beat up. He's so frustrated by the response of the Jewish people to what he felt God was calling him to say, that he, in this frustration, yells out at God, "You've duped me." I don't know if any of you have ever felt that before. Have any one of you ever, I won't ask you, but I got to tell you, there are times, you know, when you feel that call and the headwind is strong and you're firing away, and then the reality of life hits. And it's not an easy reality. And life is tough. And while we know we're doing what we know in our bones is right for us and right to do, right for us, right for our families, right for this nation and for this world, and yet there is that great struggle. And so Jeremiah says tonight, "You've duped me. You wooed me into this by your fancy talk and your wonderful promise, but now I'm stuck. And the fact of the matter is, I've fallen in love with you. I am so much in love with you that it burns inside me if I don't speak out. And yet I know when I do, I'm in trouble." And so we have that great conflict in Jeremiah's life. "Wherever you go, I will go and I will be with you." That's the promise. But the promise being fulfilled is the great struggle. And we have the same with Peter. Peter was this blustery, wonderful man. He would follow Christ to the end. When we had that great feeding of the thousands of people and everybody turned away because Christ said, "I am the bread of life. You're looking for mere food, drink, but I'm the bread. And if you wish to live forever, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood." They walked away from him. They thought he was nuts. And he turns to Peter and Peter says, "Lord, we will never leave you. Where can we go?" But here we are, the very same Peter that said that is the very same Peter who in the gospel tonight says, "Lord, no, 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 you're not going to die. I mean, the crowds are coming. The miracles are happening. You're multiplying the loaves. You're on fire. And I'll manage you. And we'll do great things together. Don't talk about death. Don't talk about crucifixion." And Jesus looks at Peter, this wonderful, faith-filled man. And he says, "Peter, go away. Get behind me." Bonhoeffer has something that I think clarifies crystal clear what this statement is about. And so I'd like to read to you. Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor, wonderful pastor, did great things, was caught by that horrendous moment in the history of Germany. The Nazis took him, made him suffer, went through this horrendous time. He stuck up a course for the Jews and was ultimately and finally killed. But in his early years, this is what Bonhoeffer said, in his earlier years, he says, "I threw myself into the work in a very unchristian and rather arrogant manner." You see, when he began, it was about Jeremiah. When he began, it was about Peter. When he began, it was about Bonhoeffer. And if truth be told, when it began, it was about Lloyd Torgerson. And he says, I threw myself into this very at work with a non-Christian and rather arrogant manner, a mind-boggling ambition. It made my life difficult, and it separated me. Isn't it true when we're arrogant? It separated me from the love and the trust of my fellow human beings. People see that. At that time, I was terribly alone. Isn't that true? Are we not alone? And left to my own devices. And then something difficult happened. There was failure in Bonhoeffer's life. Something happened. Something that changed my life. I came to the scriptures. I came to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the first time. I had already preached several times. I had written books about the scriptures. I had preached often about the scriptures. I had given speeches, but I had not yet become a Christian. I was a very untamed child. Oh, I love that. I had turned this whole business about Jesus into my advantage for myself. I also had never prayed, or at least not much and not really. And it was from this moment, this turning moment, this great disappointment in my life, it freed me. It became clear to me that the life of a servant of Jesus must belong to the Master. And so the teaching for us, if we could just see that, that in all of our lives, probably not all of you, why should I say that? But for at least for my life, puffed up, listening to what people say, believing in all of those things that we think are so important in our lives. And then something happens in our life, whether it's an illness, whether it's a divorce, whether it's an addiction, whether it's some failure that takes place in our life, and something brings us to our knees. And the light goes on, and then we see that what we have done is for us. And in fact, it is always about the other, and ultimately and finally about our God. And so I hope that that begins to at least make some sense for me, at least, I hope for you, something out of this gospel tonight. We began the Feast of Monica yesterday, and it was a great day, and I was all excited. I had weddings and appointments, and I'm so full, and you know, blah, 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 blah. And the door rang. I went out early, rode, and came back in at about 6:30. I was downstairs having a cup of coffee, and this door was ringing, and this person was pounding on the door. So in my best pastoral tone, I said, "Yes!" And there was this poor woman with a dog, little Sophia, I found out. She started to charge inside the rectory. I said, "Hold it!" And so she said to me, she had a coffee from Coffee Bean, and she had a whole big bag of donuts or something. I don't know. But anyway, she said, "I need to stay there tonight in your place." And I said, "Well, sister, you know, you're not going to stay here." And she said, "I'm tired, and I'm walking the streets." And she gave me this big thing. And she was really upset. And I got a little tougher, and she got a little tougher. And so she walked away. And she said, "What do you guys do anyway?" That's what she said as she walked away. And I thought about it. I thought about it all day long. You know what I thought? I thought, Mother Monica came that morning. Came disguised as that woman, Monica. And she tested her pastor. And her pastor failed. But the good news is she was back this morning. Yes! She was back. And so I treated her with more kindness. And gave her some. She's not sleeping there tonight, but I gave her a little food. And water for her dog. So I don't think it's either or. It's not always. But hopefully, it's a start of that journey. Nietzsche says it best of all. He says, at a certain moment in this life, an idea came to me. He called it the love of your fate. Whatever your fate is, whatever the hell happens. Now, he said that, not I. Whatever the hell happens, you say, this is what I need. It may look like a wreck. I would suggest it always looks like a wreck. But go at it as if it were an opportunity. Challenge. If you bring love to that moment, my brothers and sisters, if you bring love to that moment, not disappointment, love, you will find the strength of a lifetime. And so Jeremiah called to be that great servant, accepting that call with great love, knowing that before he even existed in his mother's womb, our God knew him. And in that call, with a generous, gracious, loving response, ultimately and finally, he listened.